Well, the Trinity, when we take the word Trinity, it's really amazing because it's found throughout the Bible. And the word itself, Trinity, is not found in the Scripture at all. But the concept of there, of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, one God in many persons, and there's a truth, one God in three persons, but there's a thing that that confuses some people. You say, how can there be really one God, but three persons? Because our minds really can't comprehend that. And when you think about it, we can believe the Trinity, the fact that there is a Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, and the fact there is one God. But our minds, being finite, really can't comprehend the infinite God. And that's where the problem comes in. And there's some things in the Bible that are just beyond us. Romans 11:33 says, "Oh, the depths of the riches, both the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments, how his ways are past finding out." That means there are things in the Bible you're never going to be able to grasp. You know, people say, well, I want to be able to put together the sovereignty of God and the free will of man. You can't put it together. You can believe it to be true, but you can't put it together because it's beyond us. And if you want to say, I'm going to put together how God can be one God and three persons, you can believe it, but you really can't put it together because we can't comprehend it. You could say, well, I'm going to see that Jesus is God and Jesus is man. Well, the truth is he 100% man? Well, yes. Is he 100% God? Yes. That doesn't add up. So there are some things in the Scripture that you're never going to be able to completely put together. A guy wrote a book several years ago, and it's called God, I Don't Understand. And he took six or seven of the major issues that we just talked about, and he named them, and there's a word called an antinomy. An antinomy is two truths that seem to be opposite, but they are true and they go together, like God being three and God being one. That seems opposite, but it goes together. Jesus being God, Jesus being man. That's it. Well, when we think about the Holy Spirit and the ministry of the Holy Spirit and the Trinity and how all that fits together, sometimes we just go, I can't really grasp it. We can believe it, but our finite minds just can't put it all together. Now, what we're doing, and this is our study. We're looking at the Holy Spirit. We already looked at the personality of the Holy Spirit and the fact that the Holy Spirit's not a force. He's actually a person. We've already seen that the Holy Spirit is God. We started with the work of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament with the idea of creation and revelation and inspiration and people. And we got some of that last week, and we're going to finish this morning the part about the people, how the Holy Spirit worked in people in the Old Testament. And then we're actually going to begin the work of the Holy Spirit concerning Christ. And we're going to look really at four things. I've just got a couple of things right there. As we go on and the study, then we get to the part that's more, you might say, almost more interesting to us, because we're going to see the Holy Spirit's work in the New Testament, and we're going to talk about the revelation of the Scripture, the inspiration of the Scripture. We're going to talk about what does the Holy Spirit do in the life of the unbeliever, and then what does the Holy Spirit do in our lives, talking at the beginning of salvation and then every day. And we're actually going to talk about spiritual gifts, but not a whole lot of details on that, and so we're going to put it all together. So that's what we're going to do over this semester, and there's so much there. And we start off by saying that Holy Spirit is a person. He is not a force. I told you the study was done by Lifeway that 43% of Christians, and it was, of course, Lifeway is Southern Baptist, so they sent a survey through all Southern Baptist churches and said, who do you think the Holy Spirit is? 43% said he is a force, not a real person. So there's a lot of people, they've just got a misconception, because they think, when you think of the Holy Spirit, you say, Holy Spirit's the power of God in us. That's true. But the power of God in us is a person who lives in us. And that's the Holy Spirit. Remember the passage says, what, do you not know your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you? You're not your own. You've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. Holy Spirit lives in you. But the Holy Spirit's not a force. The Holy Spirit is a person. And then we talked about the fact that the Holy Spirit is God, and that in Acts chapter 5, it says you lied to God, you lied to the Holy Spirit, and there's a great truth there that the Holy Spirit is God. And there are some people who say, well, there's the Father and the Son, and the power of the Father and the Son is the Holy Spirit. No, there's the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit's God, all equal, all together. Then we talked about the Father came up with the plan to save mankind, the Son carried out the plan to save mankind, and the Holy Spirit's job is to reveal the plan. And that's what we're going to talk about, especially when we think about the New Testament and what he does in our lives. What we're going to do this morning is two things. We're gonna finish looking at the Holy Spirit's ministry in the Old Testament. That's why we're going all the way back to Genesis. And then we're going to see the Holy Spirit's ministry in the life and in the ministry of Jesus Christ. And we'll see how that fits together. And there's really four things there. And I just kind of gave you a little head start. And if you're looking at your handout, I'm gonna make some changes, okay? So some of the places I put the wrong verses, or we typed it in wrong or something. So I just want you to look at that. I had to make some changes. So let's talk about the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. And we've already talked about this. If you can remember, we said that the Holy Spirit is the creator of the world. Genesis 1:1-2, which says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was formless void, and the Spirit of the Lord hovered over the face of the deep. That's the Holy Spirit. So at the creation of the world, the Holy Spirit created the world. Now, we talked last week, did Jesus Christ create the heavens and the earth and the world? He did. Colossians 1:16-17, John 1:1-4. So God, Jesus Christ is the creator. God the Father is the creator. The Holy Spirit's the creator. You know, so the Holy Spirit is the creator of the world. The second thing is the Holy Spirit created mankind. Now, here's where we got a mistake. Your handout should say Genesis 1:26, not 11:26. Because in 1:26 it says, and if you're there, turn to Genesis 1:26. Look at the verse. It says, then God said, let us make man in our image. And then he goes on and says, according to our likeness. And verse 27 says, God created man in his own image. Now, who is the us? God said, let us make man in our image. Who is the us? The Father, the Son, and the Spirit. So we got to understand that the Spirit himself created the people, and it's powerful. Look at Job. I got this verse for you. Job 33:4 says, the Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life. By the way, the Greek word, or both Old Testament and New Testament, Old Testament word is ruah, and it means breath or spirit. New Testament word is pneuma, and it means spirit or breath. So you could say the Holy Spirit. You could actually say the Holy Breath. Because that's what it is. And that's why when he talks about inspiration, it's God breathed through people. It's the Spirit coming through to give us the Bible. So some great things there. So he created mankind. He also created, we saw this already, that he created the animals. In Psalm 104:30, it says, you send forth your spirit, they, and in the context of Psalm 104, it's talking about animals. It says, you send forth your spirit, they, animals, are created. And you renew the face of the ground. He says, God, you're the one that creates everything. You create the animals. And so when we think about the Spirit's work in the Old Testament, he not only is God and created the heavens and the earth, but he created people. And then he created the animals. Now, got one other thing we want to highlight from the Old Testament before we move to the life of Christ, and that is some people in the Old Testament. And before we get a little further, I want you to grasp this. If you trust Christ as Savior, does the Holy Spirit come to live in you now? Does he live permanently in you? Does he ever leave? He can't leave, right? And in fact, Paul said, if you don't have the Spirit, you're not a child of God. I mean, that's what he said. In the Old Testament, it was different. In the Old Testament, we're going to see that dealing with people in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would come on people for purposes, for them to carry out things God wanted them to do. I'm going to show it to you. But the Holy Spirit could come upon a person and be with them, be in them, and then leave. Now, it had nothing to do with salvation. A person was saved in the Old Testament in the same way you're saved in the New Testament. How are you saved? By faith. Okay? So when they're saved, then the Holy Spirit might come upon them to do certain things and then might leave. That's why in Psalm 51, when David is confessing his sin, he actually says, oh, Lord, do not take your Holy Spirit away from me. What he was actually saying is not like somebody might say today, oh, I don't want to lose my salvation. No, David was saying, don't stop using me. That's what he was saying. Oh, Lord, don't take your Spirit away and then you not use me for your glory. Because the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament basically used people. I'm going to give you the first one is a guy named Belzeal. It's in Exodus 31. And when you think of this guy, let me read this to you. Just listen to this. This is Exodus 31. He said, the Lord said to Moses, I have called by name Belzeal. He's the son of Uri, the son of Hur, from the tribe of Judah. I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom, in knowledge, in craftsmanship, to make artistic designs for gold, silver, bronze, stones, everything. What is this guy going to do? He's going to be the one to make the tabernacle. All of those things, all of those drawings, all of the Ark of the Covenant, all of that stuff. This guy, God filled with the Holy Spirit to help him have that craftsmanship and that ability. So he actually used him to do certain things. So the Holy Spirit came upon this guy. It had nothing to do with salvation. It had to do with ministry and service. And then you got, I put Numbers 22:18. There was a prophet. He was a bad prophet. His name was Balaam. But Balaam said, I can only prophesy what the Spirit of God tells me to say. And this king named Balak hired Balaam to curse the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel was coming across Balak's land. He wanted to curse them. He called Balaam. Balaam is the guy that rode the donkey. The donkey talked to him and told him to stop. Do you remember the story of the talking donkey in the Old Testament? That's true. God opened the mouth of a donkey, and the donkey said, please quit hitting me. Why are you hitting me? That's what the donkey said to him. The donkey was saving his life because there was an angel in front of Balaam with a sword drawn to kill Balaam. And the donkey saw it and actually stopped. Look at the story sometime. But anyway, Balaam actually went, and as the king of Balak said, I'm going to pay you all kind of money for you to curse them. So he stood up on top of the mountain, and the Holy Spirit came upon him, and he blessed them every time, three times. He said, well, I told you I can't say anything but whatever the Holy Spirit tells me to say. So that was that prophet. Then if you remember Joseph was filled with the Holy Spirit to give interpretations of the dreams. Do you remember when the Pharaoh called Joseph in and said, I understand you can understand dreams? And he said, no, I can't understand dreams, but there is a God who can. So Daniel never took credit for the fact that he could interpret the dreams. He said it was God through him, the Spirit. That's what Joseph did. Daniel did exactly the same thing. When he was called forward and they were trying to figure out what these dreams meant Nebuchadnezzar had, Daniel said, I can't do it, but God can. And so he was a mouthpiece. And Saul, have you thought about Saul? Who is Saul? Tell me who Saul is. And I'm not talking about Saul Paul. I'm talking about Saul in the Old Testament. Who is that? Who is he? First king of Israel, Saul, taller than anybody else, son of Kish, very first one chosen. It said, the day that he became anointed as king, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. Okay? Had nothing to do with salvation. And it filled him to be the king. And then he got off. Then he got crazy. Then he started being jealous of David. And it says the Spirit of the Lord left him. Had nothing to do with salvation. It had to do with empowerment. And so when you think about the Old Testament and you think about the Holy Spirit, just realize that the Spirit's job in the Old Testament was not to permanently indwell like he does us. It's just totally different right now. We're the church. We'll talk more about that. When we get several weeks on down in here and we start talking about what does he do in our lives, I mean, we're going to say it's so wonderful that God the Holy Spirit lives in us permanently. We can't mess up and do really bad things and God say, okay, I'm taking the Spirit away. He doesn't do that in the New Testament. In fact, Jesus said, he has been with you. He will now be in you. And he means in permanently. And so that's the way it is. We're very fortunate. Old Testament, it wasn't that way. He didn't do in the same way as he does today. So the Holy Spirit empowered people to do ministry that God had them to do. Now, the truth is this. The Holy Spirit empowers every one of us in this room to do the ministries that God has for us. Now, you might say, well, I don't have a ministry. You should. We've all got the ministry of reconciliation, which is telling people that God brings man to himself through Jesus Christ. We all have the ministry of reconciliation, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 and 19. But then with the gifts, talents, and abilities that we have, we've all got different ministries as well. The only way you can serve God is not your power, God power through us, the power of the Holy Spirit. So in the same way that Belzebul and Saul and Daniel, and they were all filled with the Spirit to do things God had for them to do, every one of us in this room can be filled with the Spirit to do things that God has for us to do. Now, we're going to get a lot more details on that when we get over to dealing with us. Now, let's move to the next thing. We've just got a few minutes, but I want you to see something. How about the Holy Spirit's work in Christ? If you just thought off the top of your head, you might say, Holy Spirit's work in Christ. You might say, well, I can remember that after Jesus was baptized, it said the Holy Spirit made Jesus go into the wilderness. I can remember that. You know, But if you started saying, what did the Holy Spirit do in the life and the ministry of Christ? Well, there's actually four areas we're going to look at. We're going to look at the birth, which really the conception, the ministry, the death, and the resurrection. Do you understand that the Holy Spirit is involved in every one of those things? Now, once again, we've got a few things that are wrong on your charts or on your handout. So let's start with the birth of Jesus Christ. Look at this now. It's Luke 1, 34 through 35. I think it's wrong on your chart, but it should be 1, 34 through 35. If you've got a chance, just flip over to Luke chapter 1. It's famous verse. This is when the angel comes to Mary and tells her that she's going to have a baby. But I want you to listen to what this says. Just listen. Luke 1, 34 and 35. Mary, the angel says, you're going to be a mother, and the son is going to be take the throne of his father David, and he'll be the son of God and everything like that. And she says, how can this be since I'm a virgin? And she said, the angel said to her in verse 35, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High, the power of God, will overshadow you. And for this reason, the Holy Child will be called the Son of God. So at the very beginning, at the birth of Christ, at the conception of Christ, who is it that brings about the conception of Jesus Christ? It's the Holy Spirit. We go, good night, I never thought of it that way. And we might not have. Now, look at the next thing. Let's talk about ministry of Christ, okay? And we got to make a few changes on your sheet. It should say Luke 3, 21 and 22. I've got it right up here, but it's not right on your sheet. This is at the beginning of the ministry. I want you to look at Luke chapter 3. Just turn a few pages up. I want you to see this. It's pretty amazing. Luke 3, 21. Look what it says. Then when all the people were baptized, Jesus also was baptized. And while he was praying, heaven opened, and guess who came? And the Holy Spirit descended upon him bodily form like a dove, and the voice came out of heaven, which is the Father, you are my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. So right at the very beginning of his ministry, the Holy Spirit actually comes. Then look at this. I'm going to put it up there for you right here. Look at Luke chapter 4. Look at verse 1. Look what it says. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from Jordan and was led around by the Spirit in the wilderness. This is going to sound weird. What power did Jesus use when he did his ministry? Power of the Holy Spirit. The same power you have. You understand, Jesus is God, and the way the scripture describes it, when he did his ministry as a human being on this earth, he used the power of the Holy Spirit, God, to empower him. That sounds weird, but that's what it says. Do you remember when Jesus was casting out demons and everything, and they came up and said, you do your ministry in the power of the devil? And Jesus said, no, I do my ministry in the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, is to attribute the works of Jesus Christ to the devil instead of the Holy Spirit. That's what he said. Okay, now, so in the ministry, Luke chapter 4, verse 18, listen to this. Jesus opens the book and then reads and says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. So do you realize that Jesus' ministry was done in the power of the Holy Spirit? Then we're not through. What about his death? Okay, what about the death of Jesus Christ? I think we've got to change one more thing. It should say Hebrews 9, 14. Listen to this. You don't have to turn there. But at the death of Christ, when he offered himself as the final sacrifice for sin forever, Hebrews 9, 14 says this. How much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God? How did Jesus offer himself to God? Through the power of the Holy Spirit. We go, really? Jesus said, I lay down my life and I take it up again. Who did that? But he did it in the power of the Holy Spirit, which is, we just go, that's just amazing. That's just amazing. And the last thing is this, his resurrection. Jesus laid down his life. Who took it up? What did he say? I lay down my life and I take it up again. But look what it says. In Romans chapter 1, verse 4, it basically says he's declared to be the Son of God by his resurrection of the dead, by the power of the Spirit. Spirit raised him from the dead. Now listen to this one, Romans 8, 11. You will love this one. Listen to what this says. But if the Spirit of him, Holy Spirit, who raised Jesus from the dead, dwells in you. Does the Holy Spirit dwell in you? That Holy Spirit raised who from the dead? Jesus from the dead. So when we think about the Holy Spirit, we act like, well, Holy Spirit, he's like third class. You know, there's God the Father and the Son. They're up there. They're big time. And the Holy Spirit's kind of over here on the side, and we just kind of talk about him a little bit. The truth is, he's the creator. He's God. He created the people. He created animals. He created the world. He is a person. He did all kind of ministry in the Old Testament, empowering people to serve. He was there with the conception of Christ. He was there throughout the whole ministry of Christ. He's the one that in the power offered Jesus as the sacrifice, and he is the power that raised Jesus from the dead. Is that unbelievable when you think about it? So when we think about him, he is God. First of all, he is a person, he is God, he is the creator, and he had this ministry with Christ. I've got it at the last of your page there. It says he's a person, he is God, he is the creator. He did work concerning Jesus Christ. Now, time is up, so let me give you the applications for you to think about. All right, first of all, let's understand the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. He created the world, and people and animals. He empowered people for service, and he did not permanently indwell in people in the Old Testament. Just remember that. Second is, understand the ministry of the Holy Spirit in Jesus Christ and what he did. I mean, think about what he did. He was there when? He was there at the conception. He was there at the ministry. He was there at the death. He was there at the resurrection. So don't ever take him for granted. And last but not least, let's begin to see the Holy Spirit as a person. Now, I want you to understand something. In ministry today, the Father came up with the plan to send his Son. God loved the world. He gave his Son. Jesus came and carried out the plan. He left the glories of heaven, humbled himself to be obedient to death, even the death of the cross. The Spirit's job is to reveal the plan. So when you get down to it, Jesus said, and we'll see it later on, that the Spirit's not here to talk about himself. Who does the Spirit talk about? Jesus. If you're ever in doubt, just say Jesus is almost always right, okay? But anyway, the bottom line is the Holy Spirit's job is to reveal about Jesus and what he did. That's why he's not talked about all the time. And that's why we just want to look at his life, his ministry, his work, realizing he's God. But just remember, when we're out proclaiming things, we're not proclaiming the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit says, no, don't proclaim me. Proclaim Jesus. I'm here to talk about Jesus. So we're here to proclaim Jesus. But the Holy Spirit has a major part in that.